Are you blessed this morning? My God, my God, this is a blessed morning. Job chapter number 2, infected but not affected. Infected but not affected. Perhaps one of the greatest challenges that we face in this journey called life is to be able to go through things, keep those things on the outside, not be affected by allowing those things to come within us. Now, I'm sure that you will agree that that's easier said than done.
Yeah.
Because how do you go through something when it's affecting you all around, but you don't want to be affected by it within? How do you deal with a coworker who is stabbing you in the back every chance that they get, but you still smile?
Amen.
How do you sleep every night with a so-called lover, partner, spouse, best friend, knowing that they resent you? How do you deal in life with situations where you come into church dealing with church members who's supposed to be praying for you, but instead they're praying on you?
Amen.
How is it possible that you can be affected by stuff on the outside but not be infected on the inside?
Right.
Now, we have to learn that in the midst of going through something, it is in our best interest to do three simple things. The first thing that we have to keep in mind when we're going through something is never take it personal.
All right.
A fool is a fool. It doesn't matter your relationship with them. Never take it personal what people are doing to you. Because the truth of the matter is, it's not about you. It's about the God that you serve. It's about the glory that is being revealed through your life. It's about the stuff that God is using you for. And so it's not about you. They just don't like what your daddy is doing for you. Why you take all your time trying to defend yourself against somebody who don't like you? And at the close of the day, it makes no difference what you say or do. They still not gonna like you. Why are you trying to defend yourself? Why do you care what they think? Never take it personal. Number 2, always keep the prayer line open between you and God, so that in the midst of going through something, you are forever in a position where you tell God what's on your heart, hang around so God can tell you what to do about it. When you begin to pray, you have to understand that prayer is not something I do every morning and every night just because. Prayer is something to strengthen my relationship with God, understanding when I tell God my needs, my concerns, then God, my Father, also shows me how to get out of it. I wonder if you ever found yourself going through something, all of your friends were gone, you didn't know how to get out of it, and all of a sudden in the midnight hour or in a quiet spirit, God spoke to you, whispered something in your ear, and it was plain as day, and you begin to come out of your mess. See, God sometimes will allow us to be in a position so that we have to look to Him for an escape. So in the midst of going through something, what we learn from Job is that never take it personal. Okay? Keep the prayer line open. And then the third point is that you have to look at the big picture. The big picture is not where I am, it's where I'm going. If you focus on where you are, you'll get stuck right there. But you have to be able to be in mud and see the sunshine. You have to be able to stand in a bad situation and see the goodness coming out of it. You have to be able to stand in a horrible position, but understand that I got purpose even in this position. I may not like the position, it may be a painful position, but there's purpose, there's a reason why I am here. I'm not here because God is defeated and Satan is winning, therefore I'm just stuck. No, God wants the glory
Amen.
In your life.
Amen.
But you gotta know you. You have to understand you're born for a purpose.
Right.
You are born for a purpose. So what I'm saying to you this morning is that there's something that God created you to do that no one else can do. Until you find your place, your blessings really don't flow for you. Oh, you'll get a blessing here and a blessing there and a smile here and a good time over there. But when you really stand in the presence of the Lord, when God is really ordering your steps, you can be going through hell and you still see heaven. You can be going through sickness and you still understand that God is shining on you because there's a purpose for where I am. Job understood that. And what Job understood is that I'm in something that I had absolutely nothing to do with. Now, Job is a remarkable story because what Job shows us is that when God really get ready to use you, one of the things, and sometimes the first thing that God would do is God would detach you from your attachments. In other words, he'll take all your stuff. He'll detach you from what you attach to. Because what you attach to, you put faith in as though it will hold you. And so God says, let me remove all that stuff and show you that you can be without a house, in bankruptcy, in foreclosure, and I still can hold you. Because if you put your hands in the hands of the master hand, there's nothing that he can't do for you. So God detaches you from your attachment. The stuff that you have faith and confidence in, God says, I want that. Because the truth of the matter is, most of the stuff that we have faith and confidence in, God didn't give it to us. So God would detach us from our sugar daddy or our sugar mama so we can stretch our hands to thee. You didn't like that one, did you? God would detach you from gossip so he can attach you to the gospel of God. He'll detach you from the club so he can attach you to a Christ-centered church. He will detach you from the wine and the weed, by the way, to show you that the only true power is in a Holy Ghost high. So God detaches you to attach you. Excuse me for being real this morning. You do understand what I'm saying, right? You do know where weed is, right? You do know. Come on now. You do know where wine is, right? I mean, if I can't talk to you because you're so holy and you don't get what I'm saying, I'm sorry. I got nothing else to say to you. I came to talk to some folks who are dealing with some real life issues. And don't mind saying I'm dealing with it. So God will always detach us from what we attach to. And the moment that God begins to detach us from what we are attached to, I want you to begin to take notice in your life that when you begin to go through, watch who gets gone in your life. I know it's bad English, but you understand what I'm saying. When you begin to go through, I want you to watch who get gone in your life. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about the people that was there when the sun was shining, there when you can loan them $20, but the moment that you need $2, they gone out of your life. I want to talk about the folk this morning that can always call on you and you always there, but the moment that you even think about them, they've already bounced out on you. I want to talk about the folk this morning that when you begin to go through something and you've been that prayer buddy and you've been right there for them for so long and you don't even want $2. All you want to do is just hold me, just hug me, just kiss me, just tell me God will make anything from you, and they still gone. When you begin to go through something, fake friends in your life will always get gone.
Amen.
Now, the story of Job tells us that fake friends, it's not always those on the outside. Because sometimes your biggest critic is the person that you laid down with last night. Miss Job, I don't understand it. I don't understand. How is it, Miss Job, that Mr. Job has been a pillar of the community? Mr. Job has been a big baller and a shot caller, and he's been doing well, and he's been supplying everything. Every time you needed a new dress, he'll break you off something. But the moment that Mr. Job began to go through just a little challenge, then you walk out of his life. I don't understand it, women, when you have a good man that is supplying and providing for you, and then when the summer comes and you bounce out, I don't understand it. Maybe it's because your girlfriend, the one that don't have a man, told you how to deal with your man. I'm just thinking this now. So it seems to me that girlfriend, if it didn't work for you, why you bring yourself in my house? If you're not a man, and you got four jobs, and you turn tricks over here, and a trick over there, why you want to mess up my house? You got to see me first. The kingdom of God.
Job
was chilling at the crib one day. Job was chilling at the crib one day. He was chilling at the crib. Now, Job had a lot of children. And the children was down the street on the estate that Father Job had built for them. And they were having a party. Now, you can have a party without being sinful. I know some of y'all are so holy, and I thank God for you. But I know some of y'all are so holy. When your girlfriend calls you and say, come on and play cards. Oh, no, I go to hell if I touch that. I know some of y'all like that. Deal with the other folk who don't mind passing out something. I just want to talk to my kind this morning. My kind is the folk that is saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, but we still got issues. I just want to talk to my kind this morning. I believe in God, but sometimes I don't know how I'm going to come out of this. I just want to talk to my kind. My kind is just, we know we saved, but every now and then something from the past, the old issue, come up every now and then. I just want to talk to folk like me. Who honest enough to say, I don't have it all down yet. I'm not where I used to be, but I still got a mile to go that way. And every now and then, when I take two steps this way, I fall back three. I just want to talk to my kind anymore. I just want to talk to the folks anymore who don't mind being truthful about the deal. But you struggling with some stuff. And yeah, you went in the water, but the water didn't clean everything. I just want to talk to my kind. Job is chilling. The kids is down the way. The kids are having a party. Job is at home praying for the kids. And Lord, please don't allow anything to come upon my kids. Listen, I want you to understand something before we go any further. That is, before Satan can attack your life, you always have to get authorization to do it. Now watch this. Don't get scared and run, but just listen to me. Let me show you what to do with God. What you do with God is always tell God what God told you. God said that he cannot be tempted, right? So if God can't be tempted, that means what I face, I've already overcome. So all I have to do is relax. But when fear sets in, fear will paralyze. paralyze you. Where you can't move into the place that God is calling you because you are afraid. Now, I know we jump up and down about the story of Job, but let me show you something about Job, because the Bible declares that Job was a perfect and upright man, right? But it did not say that he was a sinless man. Let me show you the admonition. Once God authorized Satan to come in Job's house, let me show you the admonition that Satan used. And that was, he opened the door of fear. Job said, "That which I fear the most." Be careful what you release into the atmosphere. What you fear the most is the very door that Satan is coming in. When you say, "I can't pay that bill," that's the door that he's coming in. But when you stand at the door and say, "My God shall supply all of my needs," I'm not talking about my checkbook, I'm talking about the storehouse in heaven. When you're on your deathbed, when you're in the hospital, and you say, "I never get well," he'll come right in that door. But you have to learn to declare, "By his stripes, I'm healed. I don't feel like I'm healed. I don't look like I'm healed. I don't see healing nowhere in my facility. But I declare anyway." See, what Job said is, "That which I feared the most has come upon me." See, when you fear something, you open the door for it to come. Because fear and faith cannot live in the same house. And so God authorized the test to come. Now, when the troubles came, understand that when troubles come, troubles is the transportation to get you to the place of grace. You don't like that? Stop fighting your troubles. When your troubles come, understand they're not mine. Understand this battle is not mine, but it's the Lord. So when troubles come, troubles knock on your door to say to you that God has a message for you, and the message is, here's the car to take you to your blessings. Now, it won't feel good getting there. Have you ever, you've been on a cruise? You rode the airplane. It gets a little rough sometimes, but you still get there. In life, you're going to have a little turbulence in life, but you still going to get there. It won't be a smooth sailing or a smooth flight, but you will get there as long as you lean and depend on God. And so when you're going to a place of grace, God allows it to get a little rough sometimes so that you can keep your integrity. Now this whole thing about Job is about integrity. Now, integrity is a mathematical term. Mathematical what? It's a mathematical term. So what integrity has to do with is wholeness. You get it? Wholeness. In other words, it's the sum total of who you are on a good day in comparison to who you are on a bad day. See, because you got some Christians in the church that will act a fool. In the parking lot of the church trying to get out. I don't have to see you on Victor Drive. I don't have to see you on Lincoln Road. I don't have to see you on Veterans. You right here. See, because everybody has a little hot button. Integrity says, stay cool. Integrity says, you got this thing together. Integrity says, you are a whole person. And because you're a whole person, your life, your happiness, your joy is not predicated on the opinion of somebody else. See, when you let go of what other people think about you, then you can move forward. But as long as you stuck on what they say and what they believe, then you really stuck. When the truth of the matter is, what they say and what they believe really don't matter to you anyway. When God says he's going to bless you, you better believe no man, no hell, no nothing can can stop your blessing. Why are you concerned about what they say? And so what Job says to us is that, listen, I got to focus on what God is calling me. So I understand that I'm human and I have fear. But if God has authorized it, I see the admonition from Satan. Because I see his ammunition, the Bible says that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. So I'm not really concerned about that. Now I have to align myself with the Word of God and the children of God. But sometimes, as I said earlier, the children of God is not who you think the children of God is. Because it seems like Job should be able to say to Miss Job, we've been through a lot of tough times, and I've made a way through the grace of God. We're still standing. Hang in there with me, baby. We're going to come through this thing. But instead, she says, won't you just curse God and die? I wonder if you ever been connected with somebody and they said a fool thing when you needed them the most. I wonder if you ever been connected with somebody when you needed somebody to lift you up and to encourage you. They showed you what they really was about, and you were surprised to know that you've been connected with a fool all along. Miss Job says, well, why don't you just curse God and die? Curse God and die. The implication is, if I curse God, my troubles will be over. Isn't that a fool statement? So you really think you don't have no fools in your life? If I curse God, it's all over. When you curse God, your troubles just begin. Because until that point, your troubles are not yours. They belong to the Lord. So whatever you're going through, you have the privilege of casting all your cares upon Him. The moment that you curse God, you disconnect from God. When you disconnect from God, then God becomes the person that is turning His back on you because you reject Him. I want to share something with you in closing this morning, and it's something that I never, ever, ever want you to forget. And that is, just because you live in the world doesn't mean that you have to be affected by the things of the world. So when someone says to you foolishness, I want you to say to that person, I don't want to hear that bull. Amen. Bull, be, I'm going somewhere else now. Come with me. Bull. Point number one, or B. Never let people place you in their box. Just because you can't see God doing something doesn't mean I don't believe God is going to do it. I may not be able to see it in the natural, but in the spirit realm, I believe that God can do all things but fail. So just because your little life is confined to a box of what you see, that's as far as you can go, my life is not going to be there. So what we have to learn to do is step outside of the box that somebody or people have placed all around us. See, when you begin to live in a box, what you say to God is, what I have is all I need, and what I have, that's all you can do. That's all you can do. But the moment that you launch out into the deep, you'll see God begins to open new doors for you, a new career for you, a new relationship for you, a new level of blessing for you. But you got to step outside of the box that someone has placed around you. The U is for understanding. That is, I may not be able to understand why I'm going through what I'm going through, but I know that there's a purpose behind it. I know that God did not come into my life, allow Satan to come into my life and to just wreck my life just to play games with me. So it must be a purpose behind this. And so the purpose behind everything that we go through is so that God can get the glory. Now, God God's glory doesn't come free. I said glory, not grace. Grace is free. Glory, in order for glory to shine through your life, you got to pay a price for it. You got to go through something. And when you begin to be in relationship with God and God begin to send you through something, sometimes the first thing that God will do is send you to something that you can't overcome in the natural. Have you ever been facing your giants and all your friends, they left you? Have you ever been looking face to face with the worst obstacles in your life and you looked around and you say, okay, I got a friend that is right by my side, and you looked around and everybody was gone. What do you do when you're going through something and you have not one friend that you can depend on? What do you do when you're going through something and it's more, it seems like it's more than you can bear? Who do you turn to in the midst of things? Because you remember, they can always call on you, and 2 o'clock in the morning, you'll answer the phone, and just one time, you call them at 6:45 p.m., and they wasn't there for you. What do you do when you begin to go through something? Facing the giants of your life, and your friends are few. What a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins and griefs there. What a privilege it is to carry everything. Everything. My checkbook, take it to him. My relationships, take it to him. The knives in my back, take it to him. The concerns with the children, take it to him. He says, bring everything to me and pray. Everything. I don't care what you're going through, turn it over to God. I don't care how big it is, turn it over to God. I don't care if you don't see a way, he says, turn it over. Because my ways are not your ways, so you won't understand what you're going through. L is for little people. When you begin to go through something in life, you'll always see the little people in your life. You can never do big things with little people in your life. You wonder why you can't climb higher? It's because you got crabs in your bucket. Every time you go up, somebody's pulling you down. And the truth of the matter is that if you let me get up, I promise you I'm going to reach back and lift you as well. But no, you got yours first. I want to be first. You know, when the pain is great, I don't care if I'm first, second, third, or ninth. I just want to come out of the thing. And so what we have to understand is that God will connect you with people so that your connection with people is the transportation to get you out. But in the midst of going through a storm, in the midst of handling anything, you got to let go of the little people. Because there you are telling your big dreams to a little person. And they say, well, child, I don't know how that gonna happen. Pookie and them tried that, and Ray didn't work out with him. Just them. That has nothing to do with me. All of the little people in your life, you need to let them go. The next L is for level. To understand that where I'm going in life, everybody can't go with me. I'm not cute. I'm not arrogant. I'm just talking about my blessings right now. I'm just saying what God has for me and for me. I'm just saying that God favors me. I'm just saying that his favor's not fair. That's all I'm saying. It's not about me. It's about the level that God is about to take you to. In order for God to take you to that level, he has to allow Satan to come in your life, because he has to show him that I'm still King of Kings. I'm still Lord of Lords. I'm still able to do all things but fail. I still make a way out of no way. I still deliver. I still do this for my children. I still open doors. I still shut doors. I still do this for my children. Have you ever been connected with God and God was taking you to another level and other folk had to drop off because where you were going, you know they couldn't go with you. But God will walk you right past danger. God will set you in the presence. presence of your enemies. And they hate you, but they can't touch you. He'll stick you right in the presence of your haters. And they don't want you to get it, but they can't stop you. Because God favors you. Because God has his hands on you. And because he favors you, you don't have to be infected by what affects you. You live in a world, but we have to learn to be ye transformed. My mind has to stay. I have to see the blessings before I have the blessings in my head. I have to begin to say, God, I see it, I receive it, I have it, and everybody else around me is laughing at me. What do you mean you see a new house? Have you checked your credit score lately? Yeah. See, but where God is taking me, I don't need a credit score.
That's right.
What you doing looking at a new car? You don't have any money. You just borrowed $5 from me. But where God is taking me, God will make your enemies your footstool. God will make somebody down the road give you a car. I wish I was talking to somebody this morning where God has ever favored you, where God has ever done something for you. And you realize that it wasn't you. You realize that if it had not been for the Lord that was on your side, you wouldn't have made it. I wish I could talk to some folks this morning that God just delivered you this week from something that was hard. I wish I could talk to some folks today that God just brought you out of something. And when the same folk that was laughing at you, now you say, look at me now. Oh, it's not about me. It's about my Lord and my Savior. You ought to give him some praise this morning. Has God been good to you? Give him some praise this morning. Has God delivered you? Give him some praise this morning. Has he opened doors for you? Give him some praise this morning. Give him some praise this morning. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. He keeps opening doors. And so we don't praise him for what he's gonna do. We simply praise him because it's so easy. You don't hear me. It's so easy. Just because he's wonderful. I'm not talking about the blessing. I'm talking about him right now. I'm talking about his majesty. I'm talking about his glory. I'm talking about his love. It's so easy. Come on in this morning.
It's so easy to